Madison's police chief says that officers recovered two handguns from Abundant Life Christian School, where a student fatally shot herself and two other people Monday morning. It's Thursday, December 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a 20-year-old man in California has been arrested in connection with that school shooting in Madison. We'll have the latest. And state health officials have detected the first case of avian flu in humans in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Make an appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Okay, Carl, do you like taking calls from our listeners?
I do.
How about sharing our wonderful heart-healthy recipes?
Absolutely.
Do you like to keep up with the latest medical research?
Always.
If you do, Carl, stay tuned.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday night at 6 on WPR News.
Authorities have identified the two people who were killed at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison as 42-year-old Aaron West and Ruby Vergara, a 14-year-old freshman at the school. As Sarah Lear reports, the update comes as police continue to try and piece together what happened before a 15-year-old student opened fire Monday morning.
In an interview with WPR on Wednesday, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes said investigators have recovered two handguns from the school. But Barnes says the 15-year-old shooter only fired one of those guns when she fatally shot two others before killing herself. He says investigators are looking into the shooter's final days.
Part of that is looking at digital evidence that includes cell phones or computer access and things of that nature. For most teenagers, they do a lot of their communicating on their phones.
The shooter's parents are divorced, and Barnes confirmed that police have searched both the Madison home of her father and the Janesville home of her mother. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, a 20-year-old man in California is accused of plotting an attack in connection with the Madison school shooting. That's according to CBS 8, a San Diego area news station. The station reports that FBI agents served Alexander Paffendorf of Carlsbad with a civil gun violence restraining order, as after investigators found messages between him and the Madison shooter. He told the FBI that he had discussed targeting a government building and that he would, quote, arm himself with explosives and a gun, end quote. California court records available online show that a gun violence restraining order was issued for Paffendorf on Tuesday. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a $1.7 million settlement with a Milwaukee-based landlord and property management company. Joe Barada owns Barada Properties Management, which has nearly 9,000 apartment units in Milwaukee and Racine. Call filed a lawsuit 3 years ago saying that the company was violating the state's landlord-tenant law. The complaint says the company illegally charged its tenants late rent fees. Under the agreement, Barada will have to participate in an eviction diversion program for its residents. Rachel Fox Armstrong is with Legal Action of Wisconsin. She says that program could lead to fewer evictions.
I mean, we hope that, you know, it allows more tenants to stay in their home, especially through hard Wisconsin winters.
The settlement still needs to be approved by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. State health officials say they've detected the first human case of avian flu in Wisconsin. As Hope Kerwin reports, the risk of the virus to the general public still remains low.
The State Department of Health Services says the case of avian flu is in a Barron County resident who works at a commercial turkey farm. That farm had poultry that were found to be infected last week. The young adult had mild flu symptoms and is expected to make a full recovery. While it's the state's first case, there have been 61 confirmed avian flu infections in humans across the U.S. this year. Angie Maxted is public health veterinarian at DHS. She says the state has offered testing to farm workers in previous outbreaks.
I don't think it's fully understood why there may be additional human cases this year as opposed to in previous years with previous outbreaks.
DHS continues to monitor 19 people who are exposed to the Barron County farm. There have been no instances of human-to-human spread of the avian flu virus in the U.S. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it's definitely wintertime here in Wisconsin. The days are shorter and colder, and of course that means more time spent indoors, maybe playing a board game. In today's Wisconsin Life, we're going to hear from enthusiasts of a well-known tabletop role-playing game, you might have heard of it, called Dungeons & Dragons. Stay with us.
We have your drive time covered with the best of NPR and WPR.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
All things considered, from NPR.
Report from the Labor Department this morning shows U.S. employers added 175,000.
The economy is the top issue for Wisconsin voters.
We are hearing border stories. Exploring.
And over the past few years, young voters in Wisconsin have turned out in high numbers.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about Dungeons & Dragons, a game that turns 50 this year.
The tabletop role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons has deep roots in Wisconsin. It was co-created here in Lake Geneva by Gary Gygax. D&D is beloved around the world and played regularly in places like Madison.
It's theater of the mind. You're thinking of things and you're sort of creating the world in your head.
There are like set rules according to the books, but even those can be bent just to like kind of tell the story.
You can just come straight from work, escape whatever you were doing, and hang out and be in a fantasy.
Those are Dungeons & Dragons players who WPR's Anna Marie Yanni talked with at a game shop in Madison, a space that hosts weekly D&D nights.
What I noticed most was the laughter.
Full-blown panic attack right now.
For a game where you're trying to fight imaginary monsters and keep the character you're playing alive, the mood is light.
It's like a smartphone, actually closer to a brick, yeah.
It's a Nokia brick, I love it.
It's a brick.
The Beholder gave us a burn.
But more like
this table of D&D players at Misty Mountain Games in Madison gather every Thursday for a few hours. The game is played with dice, a handbook, and the players' imaginations. Currently, the players are trying to decide how to crack a burner phone that a creature in the game gave them. Their adventure is led by a so-called Dungeon Master, or DM. This table's DM is Samara Kushtib.
An uncountable number of blazing orbs of fire plummet to different points of the city.
The DM sits at the head of the table. They play the monsters. They run the show. It's an adventure with alternate endings, depending on what path the players decide to take or how they roll their many-sided die.
One of which striking the Senate Hall. I need all of you to make a dexterity saving throw, DC 17.
Don't let go of the brick wall.
I can't roll that many dice.
Oh my gosh, so that's a nat one.
When she's DMing, Kushtib works to make sure everyone at the table feels included.
Like, Dungeons & Dragons has kept me like feeling like I have a home no matter where I move. Because I was like first in like very eastern Wisconsin, then I was playing a game in like northern Wisconsin, now I'm here in Madison. It's like this is something that always kind of sticks around, is like I can insert myself here and feel like I'm part of a community.
Since the game's launch in 1974, millions of people have played it around the world. It's also featured in Netflix's hit show Stranger Things. At another table, co-organizer Joe Alfano says he was a Stranger Things kid.
I've been playing for 45 of the 50 years it's been around. I started in middle school, literally just down the road.
A few years back, Alfano had a stint in the hospital. The doctor asked him what he wanted to do when he got out.
And I just said, you know, that's what I want to come back to. I've got a community of people. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got friends that are like family, and I want to get back to playing with them. And so, yeah, I won't give this up. Never.
Go no farther, he warns, lest this cursed monument overtake you. Only death awaits you in these halls.
Tonight, he's at a table with his 33-year-old son, Nick Alfano, who's DMing.
I was naturally much more shyer as a kid, and then still until I started actually doing Adventure League stuff and then actually DMing, because for the longest time I was just playing. But DMing for a bunch of different people, bunch of strangers, over and over again, really gets you past the whole, you know, public speaking thing.
Nick grew up watching Joe play with his friends in their living room. Then, in middle school, his dad taught him how to play.
Like, there's lots of big in-jokes at this point for how long we've been going on.
It's a wand of paralysis that she had forgotten how to use. It's otherwise been real bad for you.
Magic stick.
Magic stick.
And that's what this game does. For 50 years, it's been bringing friends and family together, strengthening relationships, transforming people, and likely will for years to come.
I'm like, great, I'm just going to take it off and run it as soon as he's on the board and dialing.
WPR's Anna Marie Yanni brought us that story on Dungeons & Dragons in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Thursday. Hey, quick check of weather before we let you go. Could see a first major winter snowfall of the season today for many parts of Wisconsin. A winter storm warning in effect for a lot of counties in the eastern and southern parts of the state. Could see about 2 to 6 inches of snow in those areas. The rest of the state pretty much under a winter weather advisory throughout the day as well today. And overnight, we could see an additional 2 to 3 inches of snow up near Lake Superior. So it's going to be a cold, snowy day throughout the day. Thanks for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. Stay warm. We'll talk to you again soon.